This is Jay Sekulow, breaking news. House Democrats unveil the articles of impeachment.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Today, in service to our duty to the Constitution and to our country, the House Committee on the Judiciary is introducing two articles of impeachment, charging the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, with committing high crimes and misdemeanors.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We do not take this action lightly, but we have taken an oath to defend the Constitution. And unlike President Trump, we understand that our duty first and foremost is to protect the Constitution and to protect the interests of the American people. That is why we must take this solemn step today.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So Jerry Natalie just heard it, just announced that they've issued two articles of impeachment that are going to be voted out of the Judiciary Committee probably on Thursday, and then it's going to turn around to have a vote in the House, on the floor of the House next week. He said that there's two counts that because of reaching the standard of high crime and misdemeanor. Let me just say for the record that in reviewing the articles of impeachment that have been drafted and proposed by the Judiciary Committee, they are neither high crimes nor misdemeanors. First of all, abuse of power, the way they've defined it here, doesn't even constitute a crime. I mean, the abuse of power is exactly what here. We'll get more into that in detail. And then there's the obstruction of Congress. Obstruction of Congress. The president was exercising constitutional privileges that were being tested in court. The president has the right to do that. You cannot be penalized for exercising your constitutional privileges. There's a long line of Supreme Court cases that say that. So where is the beef here? Well, this is a political beef, which we knew exactly what this was going to be when it started. And that's precisely what it is. So now the question is, in the body politic, how does this move? It'll move over to the Senate. Assuming it gets passed in the House next week, I assume it does, and they'll move over to the Senate. Look what's absent. $40 million. And people are saying, what do you mean $40 million? Yeah. $40 million that Bob Mueller spent on his special counsel investigation. There's no allegation that there was obstruction of justice. There's no allegations that were, remember the 10 counts of obstruction of justice, potential obstruction of justice, they're not in here. There's no Russia collusion conspiracy because Bob Mueller found there was none. There's this throwaway line about foreign governments being enticed, but that's not even a specific reference to anything. So what you have here is a political process that's now begun. Jordan?
No, I mean, when I look at these articles of impeachment, I am embarrassed for the Democrat Party and for Congress as a whole, as an institution, because if the majority party believes that these two articles, very weak articles, I mean, these are not impeachable offenses. They're not even offenses. They're abuse of power is another made up. It's like collusion. You have to do something to abuse your power. It's not just abuse of power generally. It's okay, abuse of power for what? And then this idea of obstruction of Congress, what they leave out here is that Congress just didn't like that President Trump had his team exert executive privilege. Congress then could challenge that, as they have, in court, and the courts would decide. All it would take is one case, because I think they consolidated many of them. Those are still pending. And if the president, if the courts decided that people had to testify for some purposes, you know, they'd get some immunity from testifying for executive privilege, but they'd have to testify to other matters. The president would not be obstructing Congress unless after that court ruling, he refused to allow his staff to go. That would be the obstruction of Congress. This Congress just doesn't have time, so they've made up a new rule, a new impeachment article, which is it's obstruction because you're not fitting our timeline.
That's pretty much what they've said. I mean,
the judicial branch is obstruction in America. That's just disgusting.
It is horrible. I mean, it turns the Constitution on its head. But what are we shocked at? They've weaponized the Constitution. The courts aren't going to tolerate it. And guess who else isn't going to? The American people. All right, no. We're taking your calls on this. 800-684-3110. Our full panel's here. 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. Also, if you're watching on Facebook, Periscope, or any of our social media platforms, a lot of you are. We encourage you to share this with your friends right now. You could do that easily. You know how to swipe and do that. And again, support the work of the ACLJ, ACLJ.org. We're going to get into some analysis during the break here. So on Facebook and Periscope, stay tuned.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. We've got a lot to talk about. Two articles of impeachment. I asked Professor Hutchinson during the break whether abuse of power, and that's a loaded term, and here the abuse of power is the president engaging in foreign policy discussions, then evidently that's now an abuse of power. But here's the first question you have to ask yourself. Is abuse of power a crime?
Absolutely not. So there are no definitions of an abuse of power within the meaning A of the Constitution and B with respect to statutory law. So we don't have any evidence of bribery, no quid pro quo, no extortion. Indeed, the Democrats have declined to charge the president with the specifics of a crime. He is essentially being charged with exercising his authority within the meaning of Article 2 of the Constitution. This is a continuation of the Democratic approach to weaponize the exercise of the Constitution. That, in and of itself, is an abuse of power by Congress.
So utilizing your authority as president on matters of foreign policy now constitutes a basis upon which you can be impeached and an abuse of power. Jordan?
Let's just walk people through and remind you. First, it was quid pro quo. And then they realized, wait, quid pro quo is not always illegal. It's not always a crime. In fact, in foreign policy, there's a lot of quid pro quos. You know, if we're going to, we have foreign policy negotiations by themselves. I mean, in their own realm, those bilateral, trilateral are quid pro quos. We're going to come together to do this. Treaties are quid pro quos. Defense.
Yeah, you do this, we do that.
Yeah. Okay. So that didn't work for Democrats because it wasn't even, it's not always a crime. Really, it's the crime of bribery. And bribery requires that you have to prove that there was corrupt intent, that the president's intent was not to carry out his official duty to investigate a corruption by U.S. officials like the former vice president and his son, but that his intent was solely to affect the election in 2020. But how could they do that when they had no evidence of that? Because all they had was hearsay, which I think they acknowledge. They had presumptions. That was Gordon Sondland. He presumed things, and they just didn't like the policy of asking the Ukrainians to take on these investigations. But they don't know the president's mind, and that falls on them in a Senate trial. They've got to prove the corrupt intent, because he says in the call, "Will you do us, the country, a favor by looking into the corruption that we believe happened with the Biden family?" And by the way, Joe Biden out today saying, blaming his staff for saying that no one ever told his son this looked bad and looked like a conflict of interest.
Yeah, they blamed
it.
Yeah,
so
blamed
it was something worthy of investigation. And Joe Biden should
the confirmation proceedings Biden, for the ambassador.
Joe Biden shouldn't get a pass because he's running for office, and shouldn't he's automatically not. Mean that the president's doing it for political gain. So that's that part. But then think about this. There was supposedly extortion also. You will not see these words in either article impeachment of the first article of impeachment, abuse of power, or the second one of the obstruction of Congress. All those terms by Adam Schiff, they're not there.
Right.
So what's there? Abuse of power,
which makes
without an act.
Which sounds like a horrible thing. You abuse your power, except when you look at it legally, what exactly does it mean? Where is the criminality element of this so-called abuse of power?
Right.
And that is absent in this document.
And I'll explain it to most people. Where would abuse of power come in a normal criminal case? It would come in as a part of the kind of the, like, let's say there was a harassment case at work, and the boss is being accused of harassment by a female employee, and the female employee is again, the boss it's her boss. So
that's
the
harassment, position.
The harassment is the crime.
Right.
What comes in as a factor is that he was also the boss abusing his power.
Yeah.
So abusing his power alone wouldn't be it. You have to have that harassment. You have to have the second element. You have to have that corrupt intent.
There's got to be a criminality aspect to what is being alleged, which is completely absent here. Now, let me say something else here. You look at what's not here. I said this earlier. I will say it again. What is not here? What is not here is $40 million, 18 FBI agents, or 40 FBI agents, 18 lawyers, 2.5 years of putting the country through nonsense of Bob Mueller, the special counsel's report. That's amazingly not here. Shockingly not here. So what do you have? You have an abuse of power, which, again, sounds bad. Where's the criminality? Doesn't exist in this. And then obstruction of Congress. And the allegations are you exercised your rights as president regarding conversations with your aides that are subject to executive privilege, and you went to and Congress went to court to test it. And they don't want to wait. This is what Than just said. They don't want to wait. So they make it an article of impeachment. And that's exactly what they've done here. No quid pro quo, no bribery, no high crime, no misdemeanor, all politics. Wes?
I think the American people, Jay, are absolutely weary of this. And you look at this whole process when it started with Adam Schiff in the Intelligence Committee and then went over to Judiciary Committee. You know, this is not an exercise in law. It's not an exercise in the principles of the Constitution. This is an exercise in political targeting. They object to the president personally. They object to his foreign policy. So they come up with this bogus process and now these very, very vague articles of impeachment.
Yep.
You better get ready for the 2020 election, folks. This is going to be one of the nastiest probably in modern history, because this is how they finish Article 1 on the Article 1 for their impeachment count. Wherefore, President Trump, by such conduct, which is so vague, has demonstrated, listen to this, that he will remain a threat to national security and the Constitution if allowed to remain in office. That the President of the United States, President Trump, is a threat to national security today. That is what Democrats are alleging in the count one of obstruction of the impeachable offenses here. And that's how they close it, that he is a threat to national security. The truth is, President Trump is the greatest threat to Democrats in the next election cycle. And they can't say that. So they've now got to make him out to be a threat to our country. I mean, that is when you get to a point where when you're not even naming names like bribery or extortion or this or that, or and Mueller got to nothing, Russian collusion, the conspiracy, nothing there. But yet he is a threat to our national security. Why do you believe that? Because some policy experts disagree with his policies, which fall under his purview to decide, because voters elected him, not the bureaucrats or Congress, to determine foreign policy of the U.S. It is disgraceful to call the president, even if you think he's committed impeachable offenses. I don't think the Republicans said that President Clinton was a national security threat to our country.
No.
This is
politics. Let's go.
But I think these lines, I mean, this could be a line for a President Trump reelection ad. I mean, why are they doing this, Stan? Why are the Democrats reelecting President Trump?
I think that is what they're doing. And just to underscore your point, Jordan, this is a president that is so damaging on foreign affairs that what are they going to do later today? They are going to agree with him on a foreign affair matter, maybe his signature foreign affair matter, the USMCA trade agreement. So, you know, which way is it? I'm not sure. But to your political point, Jordan, people really need to understand this. This might be the Speaker Pelosi show, the Chairman Schiff show, but every single member of the House has an obligation to vote on these articles. Well, and again, we've talked about it many times. 31 of these Democrats are from districts that elected Donald Trump. They are going to have to make a decision whether or not they agree that President Trump is a national security threat.
So there are reports that there was a last-minute move by some of these, at least a couple of dozen, it sounds like, members of the House to try to kill this, to go with some kind of censure resolution about the actual phone call. That was at least one of the thoughts. Now, here's the question, Dan. It goes to the House Judiciary Committee Thursday. They'll vote it out, no question, on party. It'll be party line vote. What about the what happens in the House of Representatives? What do you think? We know there's two. Could there be more? Democrats say no?
I think there will be, Jay. I mean, yeah, we already know that Colin Peterson and Jeff Van Drew are likely to vote no. I think it's likely to be more. Just to give a little bit of color to your talk about there was a move to censure. Jay, I think that's why Article 2 says obstruction of Congress, which whatever that means, as opposed to obstruction of justice.
Yes.
That was sort of what they got in that process.
Yeah.
And we can go down the whole line of why that doesn't mean a whole lot. But, Jay, look, as members of those 31 members that we talk about, as they start to peel away, remember, even if they vote against these articles, Jay, if they then elect Speaker Pelosi as the next speaker, it really is irrelevant.
Yeah. So, Harry, I mean, we only got about a minute here, so give me a 30-second answer. We'll talk about this during the break. There's a big difference between obstruction of justice, the way it would be deemed, and obstruction of Congress.
Absolutely. So, essentially, Congress is saying, we did not get our way. We have to actually go to court. We have to file a claim in the third branch of government, which basically
is our constitutional framework. Yes.
Has historically been the place that you resolve disputes between Congress and the executive branch. Congress doesn't want to have any of that, in part, I think, because they believe at the end of the day, in many of these cases, they will lose with respect to executive privilege.
I think that's right. So we got executive privilege being employed by the White House, and now that's the basis upon a removal of office through impeachment. No bribery, no treason, no high crime, no misdemeanor, no obstruction of Congress either. That is a very weak argument. All right, we're taking a break. We come back. We'll take your calls, 800-684-3110. Facebook and Periscope. Share it with your friends. Stay tuned on Facebook. We got a lot more to discuss. We're going to discuss it during the break. Here we go.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100.
Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at ACLJ.org.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. We encourage you to share this with your friends. One of the questions I just asked, so the obstruction of there is no obstruction of justice charge here, which would have been the Mueller stuff, completely absent. So that's becoming a $40 million waste of money in and 2.5 years of our country's time. The president also gets approved today. His biggest trade deal, the USMCA, is approved by the House. Democrats say they announced they are in agreement on it, and that's going to be signed into law. So while they're challenging him on, they're trying to impeach him on one foreign policy matter, they're giving him a huge win, as Wilp Ains, our producer, pointed out, on the other. So take that for what it's worth. That shows you what the politics are. But I think what you have to take a look at is what are the political consequences of this. We'll grab a call in a moment, but I want to go to Jordan and then to the fan on this. So the political consequences for an abuse of power allegation, which, again, no high crime, no misdemeanor, no quid pro, no bribery, no Russia collusion, no Russia conspiracy, no obstruction of justice. Abuse of power because we don't like the phone call. And then obstruction of Congress because you didn't give us what you want, what we wanted, although you were challenged, it's being challenged in court because there are legitimate and serious constitutional issues at play. We had a call came in for our Facebook question from Rhonda that said, when President Trump is reelected in 2020, will the Democrats actually get back to work or keep trying to impeach, Jordan?
This is what I said. They will only do that if they retain control of the House of Representatives. If so, as we've heard from Congressman Al Green and, I think more importantly, Congressman Adam Schiff, that they will continue to investigate, that they can continue to impeach, and I believe they will do so to some extent, at least continue the presidential harassment if they maintain control of the House of Representatives.
Boy, once the president's reelected, though, that is going to play so bad for the Democrats.
It will, and I think that if they do retain it in the next election, they'll lose it then in the midterms. But I always thought, you know, I wrote the book The Next Red Wave, and we talked about how we kind of tiered it. We thought,
you said not likely that the House would change.
Right. So that re-election-wise, the president had the easiest path. Then the Senate to maintain control of the Senate for Republicans. And the House, it would be good to just start making gains. That's where we were a few months ago.
Yep.
But now, with this impeachment move, which I think is going to play so badly, President Trump could win so big in like Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, as they're showing in these polls. I mean, unbelievable. And Michigan, that they could lose. And if they lose the House, Adam Schiff can't continue the impeachment, can't continue the investigation. So make sure you get out and know who's running, because it's not just going to be an election about the president this time.
All right, so Than, let's talk about that. What are the electoral consequences? Assume it goes through the House. These are the two articles. Goes to the Senate. We win in the Senate, which I'm very convinced we will. What are the political consequences in your view?
Well, I'm completely in agreement with Jordan on the ramifications for the presidential election as well as the Senate election. Here's why impeachment changed the game in the House, Jay, because before impeachment, the control of the House was going to be determined in districts that Democrats had just won 2 years ago. Those same districts, though, Jay, are districts that President Trump won in 2016. So this impeachment process has made those next elections in the House not so much about the member that is currently sitting in those seats, but it's made them about President Trump and his strength in those 31 districts, Jay. That's where the control of the House is going to be decided. So that shift, the impeachment proceedings changing this from being about the members running to whether or not those districts support Donald Trump, that's why Republicans have a much better chance now to gain control of the House than they did just a matter of months ago.
Yeah, all right, let's go ahead. We're going to take some calls. 800-684-3110.
Mark is calling in from Florida on line 2. Mark, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, and thank you, Jay, for all you do.
Sure.
My question is, you both have said, and so did Mr. Turley, that if Congress does not wait for everything to go through the courts, everything they want, that they're actually doing obstruction of justice. As a citizen, how do we get anyone who votes for obstruction of justice impeached themselves for doing that? What is our recourse?
Well, look, I mean, I think the real recourse is going to be the trial in the Senate. I mean, the House of Representatives cannot remove a president from office. The way our constitutional design is, Harry, is that it is the Senate that could either convict or acquit. And I am very confident that we will see an acquittal here because, A, there is no
high crime, misdemeanor, bribery, or treason. Remember, they tried to move it from quid pro quo to bribery. That didn't work out so well. They started with the quid pro quo, then it was bribery, then it's other high crimes and misdemeanors. So they come up with an obstruction of Congress because the president's exercising his constitutional authority. That's what they're talking about here. So I think they've really endangered the Constitution, Harry.
I think that's correct. So if you look at the case in the House, the Democrats have engaged in a process that ignores first elementary fairness and then elementary due process. So they have failed to accord elementary due process and fairness to the president. In the Senate, the tables will turn, and I believe the United States Senate will accord the president with due process and elementary fairness. That's number one. Number two, with respect to the caller's point about the voters' recourse, essentially the voters have an opportunity in 2020, as Than correctly points out, particularly in those 31 districts that Trump won, that are now held by Democrats. They can vote the Democrats out, and I think they have a basis for
doing it. They're taking a heck of a political risk here.
The voters have a legitimate basis for doing so, because essentially this impeachment inquiry, these articles of impeachment, are propelled by one thing: laziness on the part of the Democrats who refuse to go to court and basically garner additional information.
Let me play Jonathan Turley's statement about the question that was asked, and I think it's a good one. And that is this: you're going obstruction of Congress. This is to be distinct, remember. This is not an obstruction of justice charge, which was in the Clinton articles of impeachment. It's obstruction of Congress because the president was exercising constitutional privileges. So here's what Jonathan Turley said about that in a hearing last week.
I can't emphasize this enough, and I'll say it just one more time. If you impeach a president, if you make a high crime and misdemeanor out of going to the courts, it is an abuse of power. It's your abuse of power. You are doing precisely what you're criticizing the president for doing. We have a third branch that deals with conflicts of the other two branches. And what comes out of there and what you do with it is the very definition of legitimacy.
So I think that Professor Turley's right, but I've said this from the beginning. It is very dangerous to our constitutional framework if you exercise a constitutional privilege or a constitutional right, that can become the basis of a crime or, in this case, an article of impeachment. Jordan?
And if the court agrees with the Democrats, then they'll get their witnesses and their documents. I mean, that's it. I mean,
But they didn't want to wait for that.
They didn't want to wait. This was a rush job. Why? Because if they an election and they ran out of time, and really they got to this point because Mueller didn't give them anything to impeach on. So they couldn't impeach on Mueller, so they had to come up with something else to impeach. So they went from Russia to Ukraine, though Nancy Pelosi says it's all about Russia, really. They went from one country who's at war with another country to come up with a way to try. They were going to impeach this president from day one. They were just running out of time. So now one of the counts was he challenged them on executive privilege, and they're saying that that's obstructing Congress and worthy of being removed from office.
Don't forget, we're in a matching challenge campaign. Go to ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for. Easy way to do that, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Friday, we're going to find out probably mid-afternoon whether the Supreme Court's granting review on the first of the president's Supreme Court case. I'm counsel of record in that one. We probably won't know until 2 or 3 o'clock. We'll come back live on the air if you get a state delayed. So that we can let you know what happened on that. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Share it with your friends. Again, support the ACLJ at aclj.org.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, second half hour. Okay, let's set the stage. We're going to get to this IG report, too, and some of the controversy surrounding that later on in the broadcast, so we're not ignoring that. I will say one thing about that IG report. This celebration by Comey and McCabe and others, of a report that says that they fundamentally misled the FISA court, they abused the FISA system, they didn't use exculpatory evidence, totally took advantage of the most secretive court system in the country to spy on an American who has no kind of recourse, and that that's okay. It's a celebration. They're celebrating that they couldn't find, I guess, enough evidence that they were politically motivated, even though we have the text messages between Strzok and Page about how much they dislike the president. I mean, so again, we will read to you what is most important, which is one, the inspector general charges people with no crimes. Two, the report does not exonerate the FBI top line officials that were involved or DOJ officials. Christopher Steele, they were lying about him. They even lied about him, his credentials. They said in a review for FIFA he did, which is the soccer federation, which handles the World Cup, very serious, huge organization, that FIFA used all of his investigations in court. He's very trusted. They didn't use any of his information because they couldn't verify any of it. So they lied there when trying to back up the author of the dossier that they utilized to get their FISA warrant to spy then on the Trump campaign. But this Inspector General's report is not the end-all of end-all, because it never is. It's just a report. There's a U.S. attorney who strongly disagrees with the findings in the report. And he's not mean to the Inspector General, but the Inspector General can't force people to give him documents, can't get info from the CIA, can't get info from other agencies, so it's very limited in what they can do. He doesn't have the same. He doesn't have subpoena power. He doesn't have a grand jury. So we'll get to that later in the broadcast. So we'll have, take that discussion and we'll walk you through that. But this impeachment issue is huge. So let's lay it out, Dan, for everybody listening right now. Only two articles so far that can be changed. There can be amendments made. But how will this work moving forward? This will be adopted later this week. These two articles will be voted on by the Judiciary Committee, and then it will move to the full House next week?
That's right, Jordan. So the expectation is that on Thursday, the House Judiciary Committee will conclude a markup of the articles. And theoretically, Jordan, during that process leading up to the final vote, it will be open for amendment. So you may see amendments offered by maybe even some Democrats, possibly some Republicans, and those voted on. But here's the reality, Jordan, just to give people a look behind the curtain here. The terms of this inside the Democrat caucus, that was negotiated over the last couple of days behind closed doors. This goes to what your dad was talking about of why it now says obstruction of Congress as opposed to obstruction of justice. So House Democrats, by and large, have already got the changes to this document that they want. So functionally, what will happen is on Thursday, the House Judiciary Committee is expected to report them out of committee and send them to the House floor. That will set it up for a final vote next week at some time. Jordan, I should tell you, though, I mean, we talked about this a couple of days ago, three huge items that the House has to clear next week. These impeachment articles, also the December 20th deadline for funding, and then also that brand new USMCA trade agreement, one of President Trump's signature foreign affairs accomplishments. So all three of those things have to get done next week, Jordan, before they leave. That's why Speaker Pelosi has left it open to spill over into the weekend, and we don't know yet what order they will proceed, but I do expect it will be on the floor for a vote at some point late next week.
Understand, folks, the president just got through a major trade deal while he's being impeached by the House. So who's taking the upper road here? Who's taking the higher road? And they're calling the president a threat to our national security while at the same time moving forward with this trade deal. It's a significant improvement on NAFTA. Bipartisan deal that he negotiated for the American worker, for the American people. We're taking your calls when we come back. Support the work of the ACLJ. It's a matching challenge month. Whatever you donate is doubled. ACLJ.org. We need your support. It's a busy month for us. ACLJ.org.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, we're going to start answering your questions about this. Here is, if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, this is the resolution. The two counts, first count is Article 1, abuse of power, and then Article 2, obstruction of Congress. And we've walked people through how this idea of abuse of power, they don't ever mention bribery, extortion, or quid pro quo because they have no evidence of that. They have no evidence of corrupt intent. All of their witnesses only had hearsay, things that they presumed, that was the words of Gordon Sondland, and policy disputes that they strongly disagree with the president's foreign policy, which is not an impeachable offense. But they did say that the president is a national security threat to our country.
That is, I mean, that statement, you said it earlier, that statement in and of itself is so outrageous. But yet it's this kind of callous indifference to what they're saying. It's like they don't care.
At the same time, they're doing the trade deal with Canada and Mexico right now.
You know, we have all the screens from CNN. That's what they're talking about. The president has a big win on the trade deal. It's a big win, actually, for the American people, so I don't want to put that in a partisan light. But it shows you the nature of what they're doing here and what the process is. So I think that it just shows you what it is. We should probably take a call.
Yeah, let's go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Dan in Michigan, online one. Dan, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Good afternoon, Jay.
Hey, you're on the air.
Hey, I've got a question for you. You got a big staff there. I understand President Clinton in 1999 signed an agreement with the Ukraine to share criminal intel. Is that still in effect, or am I nuts?
I don't think they've abandoned it.
No, it hasn't been abandoned.
No.
We've talked about it before. We have a treaty, actually, with Ukraine, a bilateral treaty between the U.S. and Ukraine, because Ukraine, when they broke out of the Soviet Union, they're still not members of NATO, though they would like to be. But they're dealing with their own conflicts, and they had their corruption issues, legitimately. So NATO wasn't ready for them either. But we did sign a bilateral treaty with Ukraine on mutual legal assistance in criminal matters. That is actually the treaty signed by, again, passed through Congress, you know, through the congressional process, which is a high burden. It's kind of like the burden of impeachment.
Yeah, 600 votes.
And then it was signed into law by the treaty was made ratified by the president. So President Clinton at the time. So absolutely, we have that treaty to mutually legally assist each other.
They don't care about that.
They ignore that.
They don't care about what the law is.
No.
Harry, they don't care about what the policies are. They don't care about the fact that you can't obstruct Congress by exercising constitutional rights. They obviously didn't care enough about the Mueller report because they didn't bother including any of it because it would have been absurd if they did. So this is, I mean, this is political theater at its worst, but a very calculated move on their part to get this over with quickly, I think.
I think that's correct. I think if the Democrats were really serious about going after the president with substance as opposed to hysteria, they would have actually brought in experts who would have looked at the mutual assistance treaty between the United States and Ukraine and asked this question. Did the president do anything that violated that specific treaty? That's number one. Number two, they would have brought in experts who would have asked the second question. Did the president engage in any behavior that is precluded by his Article II powers within the meaning of the Constitution? Instead, the Democrats, in their rush to judgment and basically based on their fear that none of their candidates is likely to defeat President Trump in 2020, they have decided to launch this impeachment inquiry. Nancy Pelosi has said she doesn't count the votes. Apparently she does. Apparently she's spending all of her time praying for the president. No one really believes that she doesn't count the votes. And so basically what we have here is a fictional, made-up fabrication that is now called an impeachment. And as Jordan correctly points out, the last line of the first article says, "Wherefore President Trump, by such conduct, has demonstrated that he will remain a threat to national security and the Constitution." That assumes facts, not in evidence.
Absolutely correct. Let me do this. I want to say something here. In looking at these articles, what's glaringly absent? We got to go back to the beginning here. What is glaringly absent? Russia collusion, Russia conspiracy, obstruction of justice. Out. So Mueller done. Quid pro quo, no. Bribery, no. Obstruction of justice during the Ukraine proceedings, no. So what do they put in there? Abuse of power without defining what a crime is. It's a policy dispute. And obstruction of Congress based on the president exercising his constitutional privilege. What they've done is abuse their power. Okay? Of course, I'm not saying that's a criminality. It's just they have abused their power. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at what's happened here constitutionally, that's what's really at play. And this obstruction of Congress for simply exercising your rights, I'd like to argue that one before the United States Senate. All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Let's take line three.
Yeah, Annette calling in from California on line three is a good question. A lot of people have this one right now. Annette, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Annette.
Hi, Jay and Jordan. Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
My question is, if this goes to the Senate for trial, will Graham take it to a full trial, or will he seek to dismiss quickly? What is your opinion?
I think there'll be a trial of sorts. I mean, I think there'll be process. So what happens is the House, and I'll go to Than on this, but I know what Than can explain what the House will do. Let me do this, because let Than explain what the House managers would do. Then I will explain what will happen probably in the United States Senate. Than, explain the House managers.
Sure. So in theory, if the House were to approve articles on the floor of the House next week, they would then appoint managers from the House. Those are, in theory, they're members of Congress that would be responsible for taking the case over to the Senate. You could have managers from both sides of the aisle, Jay. Now, I know there's some dispute on this on Capitol Hill right now. Just to throw it to you for the theoretical explanation in the Senate, in theory, you would have Republican managers, you would have Democrat managers. They would take those articles over to the Senate and lay it on the Senate's table for their consideration.
Yes. Yeah, so, and then they may actually speak at the proceedings. They could be witnesses, so to speak. And that could, you could have Republicans and Democrats. You'd have them basically the majority report and the minority report. Then the lawyers will engage, and whether there's additional witnesses called or whether depositions or whether you just try the case on the record that's been submitted. And the case is very, very weak, so I'm kind of where I would lean right now, but who knows, it's early to say. And then you present the constitutional and legal arguments. You talk about legal arguments of why these are not impeachable offenses, not high crimes, misdemeanor, bribery, or treason. And also that obstruction of Congress here actually is a violation of the president's own constitutional authority. And you could bring in lawyers to argue those various motions. You could break those up. And I think it's important to understand that. That's where I see this going.
Well, it was important that they didn't, you know, they used obstruction of Congress intentionally and not obstruction of justice. Yes. But it's interesting. We're doing research here, and Ben Sisney from our legal team just sent me this. There are already criminal statutes in place that make it a crime to obstruct justice by obstructing a congressional investigation. Statute 18 U.S.C. Section 1505. But they went around that existing criminal statute because they didn't want to be subject to what? All of the elements you have to prove of the obstruction of Congress under that. So there is a crime on the books they could have alleged happened, but they didn't do that because they didn't want to have to actually prove the elements of the crime. And why didn't they want to do that? They couldn't. They have no evidence to do so.
I think that's exactly correct. So I think we have to be clear here. And I think this is important for people to understand that the reality is of what we are dealing with, in other words, what is the constitutional cognizable injuries? What are the constitutional issues that will be played here? These are serious constitutional issues. But there's also the court of public opinion. And Wes, I just don't see this. The American people, as the ultimate jurors here, are not buying this.
They are not buying this. I think even Democrats in the American public at large are weary of this. And I find it interesting that the Democratic leadership in the House of Representatives, what they're basically doing, they're forcing the rest of the Democrat caucus to walk the plank politically on this. And I think it's going to come back to bite them. And as Jordan was alluding to, these articles of impeachment are vague because when you lay what they're trying to charge alongside either the Constitution or precedent and other impeachment trials, it doesn't hold water. It doesn't match up. And so it's intentionally vague.
Yeah, we're going to get to as many calls as we can coming back from the break at 800-684-3110. Let me encourage you to do this. On Friday, we're going to find out if the Supreme Court's going to take the first case of President Trump versus Cyrus Vance, the district attorney of the county of New York. Can a local DA do an investigation of the sitting president of the United States? We think the constitutional answer to that is no. I've now got that case pending before the Supreme Court. We will find out. It's in conference Friday. It doesn't guarantee you'll find out on Friday, but I suspect that the case will be decided Friday, whether they'll hear it or not. Now, we'll know when we get the order list. Probably will not get the order list until, I was telling Will, I think probably 2 or 3 o'clock. But what I will do is, because it's that significant, I will we'll be by our studios so that if it does come out, we will be able to break that, and then we'll use that for Saturday's a radio broadcast, so we'll do that. But don't forget also, support the work of the ACLJ. It's easy to do. Go to aclj.org. Got an email going out today, aclj.org. It's a matching challenge. Your support makes a huge difference. Do that at aclj.org. Back with more, including your calls at 1-800-684-3110 in just a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life.
We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org.
Phone calls. Let me just read to you. We're going to address that IG report, which, by the way, I think has been completely overshadowed by having a U.S. attorney investigating this wrongdoing, not an inspector general who has
subpoena power much broader authority.
So here's what Attorney General Barr had to say about the report. Quote, the inspector general's report now makes it clear that the FBI launched an intrusive investigation of a U.S. presidential campaign, that's President Trump's, on the thinnest of suspicions that, in my view, were insufficient to justify the steps taken. It is also clear from its inception, the evidence produced by the investigation was consistently exculpatory. That means it cleared the president and the campaign. Nevertheless, the investigation and surveillance, the spying on the campaign, as President Trump called it, was pushed forward for the duration of the campaign and deep into President Trump's administration. In the rush to obtain and maintain FISA surveillance of Trump campaign associates, FBI officials misled the FISA court, omitted critical exculpatory facts from their filings, and suppressed or ignored information negating the reliability of their principal source, Christopher Steele. The inspector general found the explanations given for these actions unsatisfactory. While most of the misconduct identified by the IG was committed in 2016 and 2017 by that small group of now former FBI officials, the malfeasance and misfeasance detailed in the Inspector General's report reflects a clear abuse of the FISA process.
Then you had the statement also coming out from, which is highly unusual, the counsel that's in charge of this, Durham. U.S. attorney.
This is the U.S. attorney who is doing the investigation into this and has grand jury power, subpoena power, can bring charges.
Which Horowitz did not, but to be clear, Horowitz did not have that kind of authority.
No, he just writes a report.
Right.
This is attorney general.
The last part of this is very significant.
I'll read the whole statement just so you have it all. It's not too long. I have the utmost respect for the mission of the Office of Inspector General and the comprehensive work that went into the report prepared by Mr. Horowitz and his staff. However, our investigation is not limited to developing information from within components, parts of the Justice Department. Our investigation has included developing information from other persons and entities both in the U.S. and outside of the U.S. based on the evidence collected to date. And while our investigation is ongoing, last month we advised the Inspector General. So they told him beforehand that we do not agree with some of the report's conclusions as to predication and how the FBI case was opened. So the U.S. attorney tried to warn the IG.
Well, we've got this just coming in. This has just come in, and this is from the Attorney General of the United States, William Barr, on that very point. Take a listen.
I think we have to wait until the full investigation is done, and that's the fundamental distinction between what Durham is doing and what the IG is doing. Durham is not limited to the FBI. He can talk to other agencies. He can compel people to testify. One of the problems in the IG's investigation, I think he would agree, is that Comey refused to sign back up for his security clearance and therefore couldn't be questioned about classified matters. So someone like Durham can compel testimony. He can talk to a whole range of people, private parties, foreign governments, and so forth. And I think that is the point at which a decision has to be made about motivations. And I think right now it would be premature to make any judgment one way or the other.
Let me read this sentence again, what he said.
This is brand new information.
One of the problems in the IG's report, I think, this is Bill Barr speaking, and I think he would agree, is that Comey refused to sign back up for a security clearance and therefore could not be questioned about classified matters.
There's been all of this.
All of this. Under a subpoena, he is. So I wouldn't be writing too many Washington Post op-eds how I've been exonerated, James Comey.
I still believe, I think many of us still believe, Thad Vinitz is still a believer, that Jim Comey is doing everything possible to make the money he can right now for his own legal defense. Than?
Look, anybody who's been through this report is not proud of the FBI. There is clear evidence of bias repeatedly. And the only reason the inspector general did not conclude that that political bias forced all of the errors that are in this report is because people like Peter Strzok were not the final decision makers. Well, guess who was, Jordan? James Comey. I tell you what, if I were Jim Comey right now, yep, I would not get very comfortable.
No, we'll have more of this interview with the Attorney General for tomorrow's broadcast. Let's go ahead and take another call, Jordan.
Yeah, let's go to Graham in Michigan on line four. Graham, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Graham.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. And just with what we've witnessed in the political theater here that's been taking place the last couple of weeks, I'm wondering if you guys are foreseeing any kind of backlash against Madam Pelosi and Adam
I think we've said that. Well, I think that because this impeachment is not only so thin, but so unconstitutional, so over the top, I think that the political backlash will be real. And I think they recognize this. This was just, they got down this road and they had to do it, and they felt like they had to do it, but it's of the thinnest proportions. And I think they will have, I think there's a political price to pay. That'll be up to the American people to decide. But I think it's clearly one of the ones that are clearly at play. Let's take Pam's call on line five, Jordan.
Hey, Pam, calling from North Carolina. Pam, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Pam.
Thank you. Thank you for being America's voice. And I do have a question.
Sure.
If this proceeds to the Senate,
yes,
will President Trump be allowed legal counsel?
100%. So you will have the White House counsel would be representing the interests of the president. The president's private counsel, our teams, would be representing the president as appropriate. So, yes, there is. It's not like the situation you just saw in the House of Representatives. There will actually, because the Senate is a proceeding that is a trial, so to speak. It's different than although I think they're going to adopt the federal rules of evidence, which they should. There will be a proceeding where lawyers on the president's legal team, both his private legal team and the White House counsel legal team, will be able to participate. And I anticipate that's what would happen.
Let's go to Ben in Oregon. Final call of the day. Ben, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Ben.
All right. Thank you for taking my call. Yep. I wanted to ask if the House can influence or bully the Senate into convicting the president.
No, they can't. They can't bully. They can make their case and let the Senate decide. But there's not. Listen, the Senate has got the power in this next. When it gets to the next phase, once it goes through the House, it is the Senate's. They're the ones that the framers, Harry said, make the decision.
Absolutely. So, to convict the president, 2/3 of the Senate has to vote in favor of the conviction. That's number one. Number two, the president is entitled to due process and elementary fairness in the Senate. Number three, the House impeachment charges are among the thinnest in U.S. history. So they are not supported by any facts. They are supported strongly by hearsay and presumption. For those reasons, it's very, very unlikely that the United States Senate will convict President Trump.
I think that's absolutely correct. I just don't see it. All right, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Jordan's going to let you know how to support the work of the ACLJ, but let me tell you something. It's almost mid-month. It's hard to believe. Well, it's 11 days in. We're a third of the month is gone, and we're doing great. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge, huge difference. And these are the weeks. These are the days. Basically, 20%, 25% of the ACLJ's budget's determined between now and the end of the year.
Folks, we've got a lot of work going on right now. I mean, so this is, it's not just for next year. I mean, we got work going on as we speak.
On the air. Let me be clear about that. It keeps us broadcast.
All this analysis and the team we have to do that, the team that's in front of me right now that's doing that work, you support the work of the ACLJ, you doubly impact your donation. It's a great time to support us. Go to aclj.org. We need your financial support. Donate today at aclj.org. You agree with what we have to say? Donate. aclj.org.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life online at aclj.org.